great worship song, and I can think that second song that we sang is amazing as well. Just to think right now as we're gathered here today, there's tons of saints that have gone on before. Many of you have lost loved ones that are in heaven right now today singing up the praises. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And that's what's happening up in heaven right now. I'm looking forward to that day, and I hope that you're ready, and I hope that you are ready for that day. Well, listen, it is so good to see you here at Union Grove, and I count it a privilege you being here. If we have not met before, I'm always reminded each and every week that there's people that slip in from time to time that are new or just checking things out, or maybe you're a guest here today because you have a loved one getting baptized and things like that, which we're excited about. My name is Josh. I would love the opportunity to be able to connect with you. And like Pastor David said earlier, if you didn't fill one of those new here cards out on your way in, we would love for you to take one of those. They're in the seat back right in front of you. And you can fill one out, take it to our welcome center after this. We would love to just connect with you and let you know how grateful we are that you are here and a part of what we are doing here at Union Grove. And I wanted to mention one announcement here by way of introduction, just before we get into God's Word here today. Many of you probably saw this on Facebook, but there's a few of you. I teach a Bible fellowship class downstairs. In fact, I asked them just for fun. There's a few of them who don't even have the internet at their house, in fact. And so I was kind of surprised. I'm like, how in the world do you guys make it each and every day? I don't get it. And so, but you might not have seen this on Facebook this week, but I want you to be aware of this. We are nearing groundbreaking, which I'm super excited. So we've set our groundbreaking date for just a special ceremony that we're going to have with our church. And you say you maybe are new or something like that. You're like, what in the world is happening? We have purchased land about a half mile from here on Leonard Barrier Road. And we are going to expand our ministry, both church and school. We're building a multi-purpose facility out there. That's where we will eventually meet. Hopefully in about a year and a half, we'll be meeting there on Sundays, on Sunday mornings. Everything that we do will be there. And then during the week, that will house our 7th through 12th grade here at the school. And so we have been working just tirelessly to get this to where we are here today. And so we are going to gather together on April 7th, 5 p.m. That's a Sunday, out at our future property, a half mile from here. If you need any directions or anything like that, we can help you. I know if you're newer, you might not have a clue where that is. We would love to get you there. And we would just love for everybody to be a part of that. There's one key thing that I need you to know as we approach this. It's going to be a whole ceremony. So we're going to have a service. We're going to sing some songs. There'll be some special presentations that night. It's something nobody wants to miss. But there's one thing everybody in here needs to know going into this. It is bring your own chair night, okay? All right? And so make sure you bring your chair, and we're going to have some people helping you. I told my class this morning in our Bible fellowship, if you're kind of like, man, I don't know if I can get out there and bring my own chair and things like that, and we're going to have some teenagers and different people like helping you, and so we just want you to be a part of it, and so if you could save the date, be a part of that. And we are so excited about what God is doing in our church, but also excited about what He is planning on doing in our church in the days to come, and so make sure you save the date to join us for that on April the 7th. Well, listen, if you have your Bibles today, go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. We are in the final week of our series entitled Relationship Goals. Relationship Goals. And we have been looking at three specific relationships. And depending on where you're at here today, some of those you might resonate with where you are now, and some of them might not. It might be something that you might resonate in the future and things like that. But we've been looking specifically at the marriage relationship. We looked at work relationships, which impacts so many of us, and what does the Scripture say about how we are to treat people that work for you and also treat people that you work for. And we looked last week at marriage and things like that. Hopefully, I didn't get any of you in trouble last week, okay, when you went home. And but this week, we are going to look at the family relationships. We're going to look at family relationships, specifically talking about parents to their kids and also kids to their parents. And so this series, I just want you to know, if you're kind of just jumping in and it's the first week that you've been here, the goal of all relationships is very simply, and what you find in chapters 5 and 6, you find this very clear, the goal of all relationships is Christ-likeness. That's the goal. So whether that be with your spouse, whether that be with your kids, whether it be with the people that you work for, the people that you work or that work for you, all of our relationships should look like Christ. You find that throughout chapters 5 and 6. And I want to remind you, I've said this every week of the series, it's important that you understand the book of Ephesians and understand how the book was written for you to understand relationships. Because you are missing the point if you say, when you leave here, man, I'm going to try really, really, really hard and I'm going to do everything that it said. But Paul, who wrote this this book to a real church, much like this one, the church at Ephesus, he wrote this this book to the church, and here's how he broke it down. The first three chapters, all about the gospel. It's all about what Jesus came to do in your life. And the point is, once you understand the gospel, that's chapters 1, 2, and 3, it will help you live out what he tells you to do in the relationships that you have. So it's not about the strength that you have. It's about the gospel that is at work in your heart, living out of you. That is where the power comes for you to love your spouse. That's where the power comes for you to treat people at work the way that Christ has treated you. And that's where you can treat your kids the way that Christ tells us to. And also, kids, you can treat your parents the way that Christ has told us to. So today, we're going to look at the family relationship, the family relationship. Now, I want to say up front that one thing that I'm reminded about every time I get up here to speak, it's hard in some ways for me to talk about these kind of practical elements, whether I'm talking about marriage, whether I'm talking about kids and different things like that. And the reason is because like last week, I had to preach on marriage with my wife sitting on the front row, probably rolling her eyes at everything that I told you, okay? Saying he does not do that, right? And today is a little bit different because I was looking back as I was preparing for this at any time that I've spoke on parenting, and to my knowledge, this is the first time I've ever spoke on parenting where I have a child in the room. So this is going to be a little bit different for you. So it's a little bit awkward for me. But the second thing I wanted you to know, and you can resonate with this, the only experts, so if you think I'm an expert, the only experts about parents and parenting are those that have no kids. Is that true? Like, I feel like it's true. Like, honestly, before we had kids, I knew everything there was to know about parenting. I knew it all. I was ready, and I remember watching other parents. You know, I was a youth pastor before we had kids, and I'd watch other parents raise their kids, and I remember I would tell my youth leaders how terrible some of our parents were. Okay, I'm just joking. Somewhat. But here's the thing. It's like I remember thinking and looking at these parents of these teenagers like, man, when we have kids, we're never doing that. We're never going to do that. I'm never going to let my kids talk to me that way. I'm never going to talk to them that way. And when I parent, I'm going to parent them up exactly the way God wants. And it's just going to be this movie, this Hallmark movie life that we are going to live in our home. And then here's what happened that changed that. We became parents. And then it just changed everything. And so I want you to know that there's no experts in here. I can specifically remember, and when we had Lindley, in fact, we were at the hospital and we were about to head home. And so when you're at the hospital, life is good. Well, at least for the guys, life is great. But it's fine and everything's working, everything's good, you know. And if you need anything, there's like hallways full of nurses that are just there to help you. Like, whatever you need, answer any questions that you have. But I will never forget the moment that they came into our room and they told us, you are free to go. And we had to take this little person home with us. And we're like, what in the world are we going to do? I'm like, nurses, can y'all just come to our house? You know, how's this going to work? I'm sure the church will pay for it and everything else. And so it was like, how are we going to figure this out? Because now you got to raise these kids by yourself, which is an incredible responsibility. And as we talk about parenting, the quick thing for us to do is you want to go, like I was thinking about this here today, is like, man, let's go to the scripture and find some of the greatest parents and how we can look at you know, a story in scripture that will show you this is the model family that you should pattern your family after. And here's what I want you to know. And some of you, if you have a little bit of a dysfunctional family, I'm right there in that boat a lot of times. Here's what I want you to know. You can feel really good about your family when you look at some of the families in Scripture. Because listen, trying to find that model family was difficult. Think about Adam and Eve. The first family created, one of their kids was a murderer. You feel better about yourself right now? I'm like, man, I'm doing fairly well, you know? How about Noah and his family? You know, they did good. You know, got on the ark and God blessed them when they got off. You know what happened? Noah had a serious drinking problem, betrayed by one of his sons. And then after that, what happened? He cursed his grandson as a result of it. Not the typical family unit that we probably want to study here today. How about Abraham and Sarah? They are awesome and they're patriarchs of the faith. But here's the thing. They had a lot of issues, didn't they? Like Abraham and Sarah, I mean, they had a handmaid working for them, and they connived a plan for Abram to sleep with Hagar and to have a kid. Like, what kind of messed up family is that? And as a result, Hagar and Ishmael ended up leaving the family as a result because they were no longer welcome. And I can imagine why, right? Messed up. How about Lot's family? His wife looked back at the sinful city, came a pillar of salt. And then also, you know, what did he do there in Sodom? He tried to hand his two daughters over, and because of some of the younger audience in here, I'm not even going to say what he intended to do with them. Listen, messed up family. How about Isaac and Rebekah? They had favorites. Okay, we struggle. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Some of you do, right? Some of you do. I know my kids always say that to me. You favorite, or you love them more than me. Well, they actually did, and they connived a plan. Rebekah and Jacob connived a plan against Isaac and Esau. There was deception. How about Jacob? He had favorites as well. He followed in their footsteps. And not only that, I mean, his kids were just completely dysfunctional. My kids don't like each other a lot of times, but listen, I feel like I'm winning as long as one of them doesn't sell the other into slavery at this point. And that's what happened in that family, right? And listen, here's all I want you to say about parenting is that I could go on and on in Scripture of the dysfunction that was in some of these families. And so if you're in here today and you feel like you are losing, and maybe you're a parent and you feel like, man, I am losing at this game of parenting and I don't even know what to do and we are struggling and we are dysfunctional and I can't keep it together and every other parent of the kids in my son or daughter's class looks like everything's perfect in their world and we are struggling. If that is you, I want you to know you are not alone in that. It's a difficult battle. So I want to ask you real quick, just because I want to know who I'm talking to. How many of you are parents? Okay, raise your hand. All parents. Okay, a lot of you. Okay, and so I'm talking about parenting, and here's what I want you to do. Kids, we're going to talk directly to you as well. There's a lot of you in here. If you're a teenager, we're going to talk directly to you. If you're a young person, a child in this room, we're going to talk directly to you for a few moments as well, along with your parents. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, because I couldn't find a really good model family to model after, we're sticking with Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're going to see what the Lord has to say, what the Apostle Paul is saying and writing to this church about when the gospel takes effect in your heart, how does that impact parents and kids and their relationship? You find this in Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, verse number 1, children, obey, kids, I know this is hard. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse number 2, honor thy father, and we're going to break all this down here in a minute. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray together and then we'll dive in. Father, you're so good to us, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity that I have to parent. And God, I'm thankful for my kids. I pray, Lord, in the few moments that I have, that I can just share exactly what you would have for me. And I pray for every family in this place, Father, that you would just encourage them, that you would inspire them. But Father, also that you would convict us where we need conviction. And God, I pray, Lord, ultimately at the end of this, all of our families would be a picture of Jesus and the way that he treated all of us. Because that's the picture of what we get in chapter 5 and 6 of this book. We love you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. So Paul is saying that the goal of the family relationship is Christ-likeness. So let's look first at this, the responsibilities of the family relationship. The responsibilities of the family relationship. You could say this, the commands given here in these four verses, or the imperatives that were given here in these first four verses. But there's some specific responsibilities that all of us have as kids, but also as parents. And we're going to dissect these together. And so the first two responsibilities are directed straight towards the kids. So if you're in here today and you have parents, raise your hand, okay? And that's all of us, right, that have parents, right? If you have parents and everything, and by the way, you're here today, so you have parents, okay? All right. So some of you are like, I don't know. And so I'm just like, well, listen, we need to talk after service, okay? And so, but here's the thing. You're here today. You got parents. And so there's two specific commands, two specific imperatives here directed first towards the kids, towards their parents. So kids, I want you to listen up. The first one is this, found in verse number 1. You've heard it 1,000 times, and I'm hoping that maybe we can share something that is new to you that will help you in your relationship. The first thing that we have to do is this, obey your parents. How much more simplistic can you get? The word obey, it means this, because I want you to understand this. It means to submit to or to hearken to. In fact, the word obey is the same word in the Greek that is used in verse number 5. If you look down at verse number 5, when it tells servants to be obedient to their masters. Okay? So in other words, like none of us would argue, if you go to work for somebody, right? You go to work for anybody, any company, any organization, or any individual, you go to work for them, you are considered the servant. You are considered the employee, and whatever your master gives you to do, you are supposed to do it. If they give you a task that takes more of your time, you're supposed to do it. If they give you a task that you know, you really just don't enjoy doing, you're supposed to do it. That's our responsibility as employees or servants, as we are in subjection to our masters. That word obedient and how it's using in the servant to master relationship is the same word here that we have when it talks about kids to your parents. Kids to your parents. When I spoke, the very first time I spoke on this passage of Scripture, it was before I had kids. And I looked back, and here's what I entitled, and kids, I want you to understand, because I was young, and here's what I titled that sermon, okay? I don't give my sermons all the time titles, but here's what I titled that sermon before I had kids. Ephesians chapter 6, My Parents Just Don't Understand. That's what I entitled it, right? And here's the thing, I really, before you have kids, that's kind of how you think sometimes growing up, right? I used to think that all the time. Growing up, my parents would tell me to do something, and I would just like question everything, right? And some of you are in this boat, but I want you to know that here, there is a direct command. And if you don't like it because I didn't like it growing up, here's the thing. This isn't something that culture has come up with. This isn't something that a pastor came up with. This is not something that a Sunday school teacher just said, you know what, this is a good idea, kids, obey your parents, that kind of thing. This is something that God instituted. This is something that the Creator of all instituted. And the point is, of what you get, just like a servant to his master, when we as servants are obedient and in subjection and submission to our master, here's the point, we become submissive to God. It's a picture of you being in subjection to God. And that's the point. When you obey God, you're going to obey your parents. They work together. They work together. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. It gets a little bit more in-depth. In verse number 2, the second command's also given to kids. It's this. It's honor. Not only are you to obey them, just do what they say and listen to them and hearken to them and submit to them. But the second thing is this. You're supposed to honor them. Honor them. The word honor is a word that we probably don't use as much as we probably should in English, but in Greek, here's what it means. It means to be in reverence to. Okay? It's this idea of reverencing or respecting your mom and dad. I like to think of it this way. When we took a look at verse 1 and verse number 2, you got to obey, you got honor. As a kid growing up, I feel like obedience was the main driving force of childhood, right? But as I've gotten older, and now we're raising our own kids, and my parents still are living and things like that, I'm noticing the transition point from a child, obedience, to now as an adult, honor. Honor. And I'm learning what honor looks like. When I was growing up, I really felt, and I have great parents. Just, I mean, some of you know my parents. My mom and dad, they're in church. They've had me in church, and they are believers, and they are deeply invested in the church. And so I grew up in a very, what I would consider, traditional type of family. And they loved me, and they raised me right. They raised me to love Jesus and things like that. And I mean, I rebelled against them a lot growing up and things like that, and I didn't do all the time. But here's the one thing that I will tell you that growing up is I legit, and it's funny how as a kid you just feel this way and you feel strongly. Like, I really convinced myself of this. I believe that my parents at that time, when I was like a teenager, I believe that my parents knew absolutely nothing. I just did. I was like, I mean, I convinced myself. I would argue with them of how I knew better. Like, and I was like 14, you know? It's like, man, I know way better than you guys do and things like that. And as kids, I want you to know, children in the room, I really want you to listen because I know where you're at and I sat there and I get it, okay? I was the same way, and you're probably thinking some of these same things. Like, my parents don't know anything. You know, my parents are so out of touch and everything else or whatever. As I've gotten older, I realize that as my parents were instituted over me by God because they knew better what is for me than what I knew for myself. And that's the point. And that's what we have to understand. So as I've gotten older, it's honor them. You say, what in the world does that mean? How do we honor them? Obedience is simple. You kind of submit, you do what you're told, you know, and things like that. What does honor look like? Well, first, I think, kids, here's what I want you to know. You honor your parents by being obedient to them. You can honor them by being obedient to them. A second thing, I was thinking about this, honor them, especially some of you that are older. I think this is a good thing. I'm noticing this, and I don't know if my parents are watching this today. I kind of hope that they're not. But so take it offline after this, if you don't mind, okay? But here's the thing. As I've gotten older, you know what I've noticed about my mom and dad, whatever? And I'm close to my parents, whatever. They want me to call them all the time. Like, I mean, they're retired. I'm like, guys, I have things to do. Like, I can't just wake up and call mom. You know, I want to, though, because I'm a mama's boy. And so, but here's what I'll tell you, is like, here's the thing, is like, they want me to. And here's what I'm learning, is this idea of honor and reverence and being respect to them. One thing you can do is calling them, because here's what I've learned. No parent is upset about being consulted too much. Think about that. Like I've never heard my parents say, hey, Josh, you're asking me a little too much for advice. Like, can you please chill out? Like, go find somebody else. This is getting exhausting. Like, we can't do this. No, but they want that because they were instituted by God over you to lead you, to shepherd you, to steer you in the direction that they are being led. And so I would say calling them. Another thing goes along with that, ask for their advice. One thing, you know, I've stepped into forms of leadership in the last few years that I have just, like, sometimes I wake up every day and I'm thinking, I don't even know what I'm doing here, right? Like, I don't even know, you guys got the wrong guy. And so I call my dad. And me and my dad have gotten way closer. Growing up, like, we just butted heads all the time because we're, like, the same person. So we fought. I can remember every single basketball game that we played in. When I got in the car, I would always go home, and we would argue and fight on the way home because he would say, this is what you need to do, son. And I'd be like, I am doing that, Dad. I know better than you. We'd fight. And that's kind of how we were. And then I'd try to run to my mom and try to get her on my side. Come on, you know what that life's like. I mean, that's what I used to do. And here's the thing. As I've gotten older, though, this idea of honor, what he's saying here, this idea of honor is something that me and my dad have gotten so stinking close, especially as I've gotten older, because of the idea of I realize now what I wish I had known as a kid, that I need what they are giving me way more than I ever knew that I did as a kid. And so now I call them for everything. I text them for everything and ask for their advice about all of those things. No one cares about you and your decisions more than your parents do. Think about that. Like nobody cares about the way that I pastor and the way that I lead more than my parents. Nobody cautions me more than my parents. And even as an adult, like I found myself about a year ago. Like my dad was telling me something. We were in a restaurant and I was saying, we are going to do something as a church. And I'll never forget it. My dad like pushed back so hard on me. And I was like frustrated because I'm looking at this like I'm an adult now. That's not what it is, right? And he was pushing back. Here's why. What I know now is because he just wants me to make good decisions. Nobody cares about that more than they do. That's why they're sometimes passionate. Children, that's why they invest so much into you. That's why they speak into you. That's why they give you their advice all the time. Because they are the ones on earth that care more about you than anyone else. And they care more about school, more about your grades, more about everything, every decision that you have in life more than anyone else. So we have to honor them. Another way you honor them is this, and some of you do this, and I love this. You care for them as they age. I think that is such a good thing. Like I watch some of you, and you know, as your parents are aging, and I'm seeing how much work. Listen, if that's you today, and that's where you're falling, and you're like, man, I'm exhausted because I take care of my parents. Listen, props to you for honoring them the way that God has told you to honor them. That's what he is saying. He's telling us there needs to be a level of respect, this level of reverence in how we treat our parents. Take care of them. I love seeing that. So you see these imperatives for kids: obey, honor, but then he doesn't leave out their parents. He says in verse number 4, he gives a specific imperative to dads. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In other words, don't stir up anger in your kids. Instead, encourage and uplift them. You say, what's he saying here? You know, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And then he says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which we're going to look at here in a moment. Like, what does that mean? Don't provoke them to wrath. I mean, that's a difficult thing. And when I was looking at it, just to give you a real picture, it's stirring up anger in your kids. Here's what I'm just going to tell you, mom and dad, because I know we find ourselves doing this from time to time. So we're in the same boat, whatever. But sometimes there is a way that we can discipline our kids that breeds more rebellion in our kids. Let me say that again. There's some ways that we discipline that can breed more rebellion. I'm just going to be straight. Like, there's some ways that I am going to react when my kids do something that they're not supposed to do that can lead them and steer their heart in one direction, or it can steer them in a completely different direction. So when he says, provoke not your children to wrath, he's talking about the way that you discipline your kids. Here's probably not the best thing. Your kids do something wrong, and you blow up and go off the handle, and you're yelling, and there's yelling going all in the house. Everybody's yelling. You're in, like, and as you, one of you walks away, you get further and further down the hallway, right? And so you're like, well, I got to speak louder. And so you yell louder, and everybody's yelling. Everybody's upset and things like that, right? The point is there's a way sometimes that we as parents can treat our kids and discipline our kids in a way that is not healthy. Not every form of discipline that you want to give your kid is always the healthiest way. And that's what you have to understand. When I was growing up, you know, my parents, and I want to be real specific about all this kind of stuff because I want you to, I'm a practical thinker, and so I want you to understand. I want you to leave here not just with head knowledge of what the Scripture says. I want you to leave here with what the Scripture is telling you and the gospel at work in your heart can do in your families. But when I was growing up, I remember my mom was like not really, like she spent a lot of time with us because my dad was working a lot of times in the afternoons and in the summers and stuff like that. But my mom was not really the biggest disciplined person in the world, okay? She tried really hard, but because I was a mama's boy, man, I could weasel my way through anything. Like, it didn't matter. Like, my mom would say right up front, she would say, hey, you are not getting up from this table until you eat whatever it is that she put on that table. I was like, okay, yes, ma'am. But I knew deep down, if I didn't really like this, if I fought hard enough, like I could just get a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch eventually, like it would happen, right? And so, but there were times, girl, not dads. But here's the thing. Here's what she would tell me. When your dad gets home, that was the worst thing, too, and everything. Does he know I hit my sister? Does he know things like that? And so he'd come. But here's the thing, is every time, I don't remember my parents ever just yelling at me. Like, my dad would take me into the room, and yes, he spanked me. But here's what I'll tell you, is he would talk to me. And he would talk to me. And sometimes, like, honestly, and kids, if you ever, you know, had parents like this, when you can get them talking, there's a part of me that thinks, man, I've got them. Like, I feel like I'm going to get it out of this. And then after this great conversation that we had, and I'm thinking we're about to, you know, just fist bump and say, hey, man, I won't do that again, whatever. Then comes, like, the major, like, issue, like the discipline, the spanking, whatever. And so here's my point. Here's my point, though. That talking that we always had is pretty much what I remember as much as anything. Why? Because he had an option of running into my room and yelling at me and just letting me have it. But he took this first, like, hey, there's a right way to steer the direction of my heart through the way that he disciplined, and then there's a wrong way. And so parents, I want you to understand, and we're going to talk about that nurture and admonition of the Lord next. Here's the thing. That is the commands. Obey your parents. Kids, honor your father and mother. Parents, dads, provoke not your children to wrath. But then he says this, the attitude behind the family relationship. You see it here as well in verse number 1. The first attitude that we find and why these relationships are the way that they are is this. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. It's this idea of being in the Lord. And so here's what I want you to know. This is the theme of the entire section, whether he's talking about marriage, whether he's talking about the work relationship, everything is to be done as unto the Lord or in the Lord. That's why the idea of Christ-likeness in all of our relationships is the ultimate thing that we have to remember. Paul here is linking children's obedience to their parents with their relationship with the Lord. That's the point, that when he mentions in the Lord in verse number 1, he's linking children's obedience to their parents with their relationship with the Lord. In other words, you cannot be disobedient to your parents. Get this. You cannot be disobedient to your parents and obedient to God at the same time. That's what he's trying to say. That's what he's saying. So the way that we treat our parents is a reflection of our relationship with God. And just like we've talked about marriage, and just like we've talked about work relationships, when your relationships are not what they should be, and they're not what Paul's saying they can be in Ephesians 5 and 6, it's a reflection of our relationship with God. That's why all of these relationships should be in the Lord and as unto the Lord. Your relationship with your kids, and kids, your relationship with your parents should be a picture of Christ and His church. In the attitudes in which Christ has loved you, in the tone and posture in which Christ loved you, all of those things that Christ is, and we love to talk about His grace, we love to talk about His mercy, we love to talk about the way He chastises us, we love to talk about His grace, we love to talk about His compassion, we love to talk about His kindness, all of these things, the way that He treats us should be reflected in the way that our family relationships work. So the attitude by which parents should treat their kids and the attitude in which kids should treat their parents, it's in the Lord. That means it should be a reflection of Him. But the second thing we see is this. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You see that in verse number one. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. This used to be the most frustrating verse to me growing up. Why is it right? You see, from the beginning, God gave us a clear moral instruction for how we are to live in this world. This is a direct command from God. It's the right thing to do. And I used to absolutely hate this. I used to, like, couldn't stand why it's right. And my parents were just like me in a lot of ways. So a lot of times is I would be like, man, why do I have to obey? That's what I would say as a kid. And my parents would say, well, if you don't, or whatever, then we're taking everything away from you, right? And so, amen, thank you, I heard that. And so, but here's the thing, it's like, you're taking all this away. So I remember, here's what I used to do, this happened numerous times growing up, I think I've told some of you this before, or whatever, but when I would not get my way, I specifically remember there was a time when I don't remember how old I was probably like, I don't know, 10, 11, or 17, I'm not sure. And so, but here's the point, is I remember there, I was like this kid, and my parents, they were still driving me everywhere and stuff like that. And all of my friends were going to this big event in Ashboro. It's just this big thing that everybody was gathering at. And my parents, for whatever reason, had heard something bad about it, right? I don't know where parents get this information, by the way. Like, I'm just like, where'd you hear that? We don't have the internet. Like, you don't have Facebook. Nowadays, that's where parents get everything. They believe it all, too. But here's the thing. It's like they told me that I could not go. I lost my mind. And I'm just going to be honest with you what I did, because some of you love the demise of your pastor and you love hearing stories like that. You know what I did? I got so angry at them. I was like in the living room. I was so mad because they told me I couldn't go and you can't go and this kind of thing. And remember, I had great parents, godly parents. And they're like, Josh, we just don't feel like it's the best environment for you to be around. I'm like, oh, my friends are going to be there. Josh, me and your dad, we made up our minds. But seriously, like, why? And I kept pushing. Josh, we said this. Well, I was in the living room, and I had this blanket. And I had this blanket. I was so angry. And so I remember taking that blanket, and I, like, slung it over. I, like, broke a lamp in my house. Glass went everywhere and stuff. Did I go to the thing? No, I didn't, by the way. Okay. Made everything worse. I'm thinking my argument's helping, and it doesn't, or whatever. Some kids got in trouble at that event that night. And so I realized later that they didn't want. But you know what I used to do every time I used to not get my way? I got angry, and then I would say, I'm moving out. So I had a treehouse out back. I remember specifically, I packed my bag, my little gym bag. I'd go into the kitchen. I get some snacks that my parents purchased for me, pack my clothes that my parents purchased for me, and I'd go out there and I'd think, I'm teaching them a lesson, and if I stay out here long enough, my mom's going to walk outside, go to the bottom of the treehouse, look up and say, Josh, we were wrong. You know how many times that happened? Never. But after being up there for like 10 minutes, I finally would walk the worst road in the world back to my parents and say, listen, I was wrong. Listen, here's the thing. This is the right thing to do, kids. I don't know how else to make it simplistic for you. Obeying your mom and dad, honoring your parents, it's not something that I came up with. It's something that God has instituted for you, and it's the right thing to do. Then he says, for parents, nurture and admonition of the Lord in verse number 4. And by the way, I want to bring this out because I don't want this to go unnoticed. Most parent commands in Scripture are given to men. And this is why. Dads, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home. That's the biblical. And I know, ladies, listen, if you're running your house by yourself because you're married to somebody who ran off on you and that kind of thing, here's what I want you to know. I am so sorry, because the original design that was created was for the dads to lead the home. That's the way God orchestrated. So if you're a single mom, we stand with you and we are here for you and we are here to help you in every way that we possibly can. But the way God instituted the home to function is for men to lead. Yes. And for men to take a step and lead the spiritual life and environment. And that's why you see this. In fact, you see more parenting instruction in the book of Proverbs than any other book in Scripture. And here's what I'll tell you about the book of Proverbs. It was written from a man to his son. And the point is, you're supposed to lead in your home, the spiritual altitude. That's your responsibility. So men, step up and lead. And he says the way we lead is not provoking your children to wrath, but instead bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's what I want you to, if you're writing your Bible, here's what I write next to that, because that's kind of one of those churchy words and churchy phrases that I heard all the time growing up. I said it a lot of times growing up. I didn't really know what it means. Here's what it means. Character development. Write that in your Bible. Character development. The point is, it's coming off the tail end of provoking not your children to wrath. So, in other words, some discipline, like I said, can lead to more rebellion when it's handled in anger. But there's a right way to handle discipline, and there's a right way to handle things with your children that can steer their heart and build character into their heart. Listen, parents, I want to tell you this, and I know we're out of time because we got baptism. Parents, be more concerned with your child's heart than their behavior. Be more concerned. Listen, we as parents are so worried about our kids' behavior and what that's going to make it look like for us. You know, one of the things I struggle with more than anything else, just going to be pastor. Everybody in this place, everybody that calls Union Grove home, they think that I'm supposed to have it all together. And you know what's hard? But here's the thing. The reason why that's a problem for me is because every time my kids mess up, I take it as a personal shot that, man, everybody, I don't. Listen, we're going to parent them, and here's what I care more about. My kids are going to mess up. Your kids are going to mess up. And here's what I want every parent in this place to understand. Behavior is important, but at the end of the day, what's more important that you should care way more about is the direction in which their heart is going. That's the big thing. So are your kids going to mess up? Yes. Like my kids, they mess up. But as long as I can see that their heart is heading in the right direction, I'm praying that one day when they go out on their own and I launch them like an arrow into this world, I'm praying that they leave here and love Jesus with all of their heart and serve Jesus and His church with all that they have. That's the goal, and that's the direction. That's what nurture and admonition of the Lord looks like. It's all about in the way that you're directing their heart. So your kids are going to make mistakes. Like, for example, I'll say it this way. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but this was something special that happened with us. Like, I talk a lot about my kids from up here, and sometimes that gets me in trouble when I get home. But here's what I'll tell you. Like, my son, he's not in here, but my son sometimes, like, can be wild. Like, I'm just being honest. Some of you have seen it. Like, it's crazy. And he can be crazy, and I get it. And he can be, you know, bad or whatever you want to call it, like any other kid. But here's the thing. I got a text this week or a message that was so good to me because it's a reminder about my kids that is just special. I know my kid can get in trouble. I know my kids can and things like that, just like every other kid. But somebody told me one thing he asked for Christmas is just special to me. He sees my Bible all the time. So, like, I have, like, a wide margin Bible. And the reason why I have that is because, like, my memory's terrible. I've pastored this church, and since I've come on staff here, my memory's gone the opposite direction. And And here's the thing, is like, so I have a wide margin. I got it when I got here so that I could write notes and so that I can have like notes. So if I forget something, I have it there. And so I have that. And I've used that the last few years. We'll go find one. So we tried to find one and we did and we got him one or whatever. And this past week, and my kid, he's not perfect. Trust me. On Wednesday night, he was writing something just ferociously, just writing the whole time I was talking. And at first I was like, man, what's going on with him? You know, like, why isn't he paying attention and that kind of thing? And then afterwards I asked him about it and he showed him some notes he wrote in his wide margin Bible, like his dad. And I don't say that to lift me up. Trust me, I don't want you, if that's what you think, like, pastor's just buttering everybody up, making them think. Listen, I'm as dysfunctional as any parent in this place. I lose my mind at my house all the time. Sometimes I go to work to relax, okay? I want you to know something. You know what that showed me? All the behavior stuff that I get so mad about. Why did you do this? Why did you act that? Why did you say that? Why did you behave that way? I was reminded that his heart is heading in a good direction. Parents, here's what I want you to do. You need to care more about their heart. You say, how do we do that? Teach them about God. Read the Word together. Say, how in the world do we do that? Listen, there's some great resources that I could share with you. One of the best is Jesus Storybook Bible, where it makes the Bible point to Christ from the very beginning. And reading the family together is so important. There's so many good resources for you. But that's something you have to do. You have to. It's like your job as a parent is to launch them back in those 18 years. And when they move out, you launch them. Practical, and I'm going to bullet point these quick. First, prioritize relationships in your house. Be present. Dad, keep the phone off from time to time. Keep the game off. Family dinners, family devotions, car rides. You know what I've learned about parents? I've done a lot of funerals in the last 3 years of being the pastor here. No one ever regrets spending too much time together. They always regret not enough. So prioritize relationships. Second thing, deepen your relationship with families in the church. You say, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. You need your kids to have other influences in their life. I'm so grateful that right now, while I'm in here, I have people that I can trust that love my kids and are teaching my kids to love Jesus with all of their heart, and they're reinforcing what I'm trying to teach in them. Sundays, Wednesdays, they need that. You need to get them involved in stuff like that. It'll make a difference. The third thing, this is for parents, focus on heart transfer. I said this, but I want you to remember it. Focus on heart transformation, not just behavior modification. Because there's going to come a day where you're not going to be there to figure out all the and mold them into the exact same thing. When they're 25 years old and on their own, you got to realize that what you've done up to this point is all you can do to control their behavior. What needs to happen is all these years that you have with them, focus on the direction of their heart. And then if you're in here today and you don't have kids or whatever, here's what all of us can do. Pray for all of the many arrows that we are blessed with in our church. We have so many arrows in our church, and here's what all of us need to do. Pray for them. Don't be annoyed. Listen, I want a loud church. I would love a church that kids are running around like crazy. Doesn't bother me a bit. You say, why, Pastor? They're supposed to act a certain way. Listen, I want a loud church with kids way more than I want a dying, quiet church. Listen, it's a good thing to have kids running around. Consider it a blessing. Consider it an opportunity. And here's what I'll tell you about all relationships as we wrap it up. The health of my horizontal relationships with my marriage, with my kids, with my work relationships is always related to the health of my vertical relationship every single time. Every single time. And so that's what you have to remember. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Nobody looking around. Heads are bowed. Hearts are lifted in prayer. I don't know where you're at today. kids, I don't know what your relationship with your mom and dad's like. But I'll tell you this. We are commanded, whether we like it or not, we're commanded. And whether you believe it or not, your parents want what's best for you. They do. And if you're in here today and you say, and I want to talk just to the kids for a moment, then we'll address the parents. But if you're a child in here today and you say, and I want you to be honest, don't be embarrassed. This is between us, and I want to pray for you. If you're in here today and you say, my relationship, maybe you're a teenager, kid, whatever, my relationship with my parents is not reflecting Christ in the way that it should, and I want you to pray for me. If that's you today and you can be honest before God, would you slip up your hand? Children, anywhere, just say, I got to treat my parents differently. Okay, thank you. I see that one hand. Praise God. Listen, it's the right thing to do, and the way that you do it is to know that Jesus has loved us, and God is our Heavenly Father. And when God loves us the way that He loved us by giving His life for you, when you trust in Him as your Savior and you stop trusting in yourself and you trust in Him forever, here's what can happen. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you at the moment of your salvation. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit is where the power comes from for you to be able to live out your relationships with your mom and dad. That's where it comes from. It should be a reflection of Christ. Parents, I want you to be honest because, listen, raising your hand, nobody's going to judge you in here. I promise you I won't, because I'm the least in here that could ever judge anybody. You say, my home life, I've kind of not really been as intentional. Maybe dad, it's from the standpoint of leading your home, you know, from a spiritual perspective, like it's not been the highest of priority. I've kind of taken a back seat. I've let other people do it and that kind of thing. And you're like, man, that's where I'm at. Or moms, you're like, man, I just get frustrated and angry and yelling is more my main thing and stuff. And I'm kind of like, we're not great with this either. My hand is right there. In fact, I mean, God's preached this sermon to me all week long. Father, Lord, we love you. God, bless in this invitation time. God, I pray, Lord, that all of us would make decisions.